Sleeper 2020, a series of conversations with explorers, artists, and thinkers in the world of hospitality experience and design. This podcast is brought to you in association with Grower. Grower bathroom fittings and fixtures can be found in iconic hotel developments all over the world. Thanks to unique versatility in design and functionality, innovative technology, and endless possible applications, Grower products are perfectly placed to meet the rigorous demands of the hospitality sector. For more information, visit grower.com.
Hello and welcome to this Sleeper 2020 podcast. I'm Guy Dietrich, Editor-at-Large of Sleeper Magazine. Today we're speaking to Jean-Michel Gatti, Principal Designer of Denison Architects, based in Asia, a business he established in 1983. His portfolio is second to none, including several properties for Aman, Four Seasons, Mandarin Oriental, One and Only, Chedi Hotels, Cheval Blanc. The A-list goes on. Born in Belgium, he graduated in 1978, and by 1981 had made his way to Asia, where he's spent the majority of his life. Jean-Michel has proven to be a man for all geographies and all operators. Ski resorts, urban escapes, and beach properties are all easily within his remit. Welcome, Jean-Michel. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing, Guy?
I'm good, thank you. Good to have you on the line. You have a number of projects set to open in coming months and some other bigger news as well. Perhaps you could take us through that portfolio.
I have several projects that we're opening in the coming few months. Most of them have been delayed by 2 or 3 months, of course, because of the pandemic. But it will be the Four Seasons Bangkok, the Four Seasons Tokyo, the Jumeirah Bali, the One and Only Montenegro, and of course we are working on many, many others.
Indeed, including some for Aman. Tell us about the Aman properties you're working on.
Yeah, on Aman, for example, we're working on Aman New York, Aman Miami, Aman Bangkok, a hotel in, I can't mention where it is, but I can say it's in the northern Italy. And then we have two or three properties that were to sign in that we are doing now in Saudi Arabia.
Okay, Saudi Arabia is interesting for you as well because you've also taken on the master planning for Amala. Tell us a bit about that.
As you know, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS, has embarked into a very, very massive program. We call that the 2030 vision. What he decided is he wants to turn the Red Sea as the Côte d'Azur of the Saudi Arabians. And it's quite exceptional decor. It is entirely virgin. It has the most stunning reefs, like in the Maldives. It's as beautiful as the Maldives. It's a stunning reef. It has an amazing weather, and it has sensational rock formation and sand dunes falling into it. So he decided to allocate 4 specific areas in the country. And one of them is Neom, the other one is Amala, the other one is Red Sea, and the other one is Alula. These are the 4 main competitions that they organize. And my company, we won one of the 4 competitions. It's called Amala. Now, to be honest, that Amala consists of 3 components. We won 2 of them are mainland, and 1 is on an island. And we got the island project, which is to be turned into an outdoor sensational lifestyle, luxury lifestyle, and art museum, which the His Royal Highness wants to call the Jewel of the Red Sea. So we're working on that for the moment. It's an exceptional project.
Now, you normally have a very relentless travel schedule. It's a passion established from an early age. And you told me a lovely anecdote during an interview a few years ago of when you were growing up in Belgium. You would save up your milk money to buy maps of the world and then test yourself on them.
Well, you remember that? It's interesting, yes. I've always been totally fascinated by geography, by traveling. And today, of course, Google Map is my passion. I look at Google Maps certainly an hour a day without fail. I study rivers. This morning, for example, a small detail, but I study the Congo River from estuary to the spring, basically. And I just study the rivers, and I match up with the topography of the countries and everything. And I'm just fascinated.
Let's go back a few weeks, pre-coronavirus. When was the last time you got on a plane?
Okay, well, that's simple. My last trip was actually the trip to finalize the Four Seasons Bangkok. So I flew to Bangkok, and it was the week before the 18, because we got locked down here on the 18th of March. Therefore, it was on the week before the 18th. I spent 4 days at the Four Seasons almost open in Bangkok. So I stayed at the Four Seasons, of course, in our property, even though the hotel is not open yet, but I did stay. I stayed at the Four Seasons. I was with four of my colleagues, and of course, we're going through the landscape, the architecture, the interior. But we were not the architect of that project. We only did the interior and the landscape, but we did look at many architectural elements of the projects, volumes, certain facade. We've designed part of the restaurants, etc., etc. So we did some architectural work, even though mostly it was interior and landscape. So I was with the various people in my office, which were involved directly on that project.
Very interesting there that you're going back to see one of your existing properties.
But it doesn't happen very often. My wife doesn't like when we go back to the property that I have designed, because I'm very critical and I'm absolutely the worst critic against myself. And so I say, oh, I should have done that. Oh, I was too small there. Oh, that was not very smart. Oh, I think we made a mistake. I'm always quite upset about things. So we tend not to go to the hotel I've designed, even though sometimes, of course, we do. And to be honest, I like it.
I think this is a very interesting fact that you do bother to go back to the hotels and take a look at what you've done in the past, because this is really the only way we will learn and become better.
Every single project we do, we know the mistakes we have made, and you just have to be fair with yourself and honest and say, come on, that wasn't good. As a professional, you try to correct it and do better every time. It's like what you do with your children. You want your children to be better than you. You tell them, don't do that. And my son look at me and say, but Papa, that's what you did. I say, yeah, but I was wrong. Okay, so it's the same with hotels. I think we have to remain human being, and we have to be focused and realize our weaknesses. And that's a strength, I believe.
Jean-Michel, let's move on a little now. And I'd like to look at the real aim of these podcasts, and that's to explore where the industry might be heading over the next 2 decades. Firstly, what is the biggest change in the broader sense of travel that you were expecting to have and now you see potentially altering because of the coronavirus?
I would say that before pandemic time, the hotel, the hospitality business had become so widely spread in terms of type of product and type of what you call density, how many stars you give to your hotels, how you describe your hotels, etc., etc. It becomes so diluted and had lost a little bit of its identity. The notion of Darwin's struggle for life in 1850 or whatever it is, when he says always the strongest who wins. Probably we're going to have a similar mechanism in the hospitality industry. So I believe the top luxury market will remain and will probably become even stronger, because people will want to isolate themselves in smaller hotel, luxurious hotel. They will want that. They will look for that. People who can afford will go there because of the feeling of security in terms of health. The other markets, the other niche, like the 2, 3, and 4 star, they're going to have to set up new rules. Rules of sanitizing the whole hotel regularly. So probably housekeeping will take a little bit longer. It will be clean, but they're going to have to upgrade their cleaning standard. Absolutely. Today, after 9/11, we're starting to have these security checking at the entry of the hotels. Now they're going to have the health checking. I'm almost sure they're going to have health checking. You're going to have to take your temperature, or they're going to give you a sanitizer, the check-in counter, etc. The check-in is going to be different. The check-in and the check-out are going to be different. I don't know how they're going to do, but they will be different. The Ministry of Health of every country is going to be more stringent while reviewing projects. They will ask questions with regards to materials, the finishes, etc. So So there will be all sort of consequences on the 2, 3, or 4 star. Okay. The 5 star and above, I think, will be, all these elements will be integrated anyway, but they'll be successful because people, in my opinion, will look for luxury.
Lots of very interesting thoughts there, I think, about the different categories of hotels and how they will deal with things. And perhaps now we could dive into the details of hospitality design, and more specifically, which direction is hospitality design going?
Just one more word I think is fundamental. Just before answering that question, you know, when 10 years ago, environment basically became really headlines everywhere, and they started to collaborate between countries to make sure that we improve our environment. You know what people did? The whole industry changed, okay? It became, they now have windows which are solar panel. We now have timber floor which are ceramic tiles. We now have hundreds of new materials which that the industry produce in order to comply to this environmental issue. I think we're going to have exactly the same with the health issue. It means the industry, and they are very creative, the building industry is going to come up with materials which will be complying to these issue of virus, etc. So, for example, they'll produce tilings which does not allow virus to set. They will produce a special door handle in a special aluminum which does not allow the virus to set. I think the industry is going to be a very important player in that that grow forward. And the way they did with the environment, they're now going to do it with the health.
I think indeed the manufacturers will be very strong in bringing these things forward, obviously particularly if they are mandated by government to reach certain standards. It'll be everybody's in everybody's interest to have a win-win situation.
Now, talking about your hotels, yes, I believe that because of these issues, the hotel are going to be probably a little bit more simple, a little bit more zen. And for example, for that, Aman is very well placed. The design will be more paramount, whereas today, very often, fabric, decor, decoration items, frames, etc., makes the design. But I believe with what we are experiencing now, interior designers are going to be more important. People are going to look at the simplicity of their design, the simplicity of a door handle, the simplicity of a rail in the staircase, in order to avoid a nasty corner where dust accumulates, where you can't clean properly, where new materials can be used, etc., etc. So I believe the simplicity of the design will come back a little bit fashionable, even though I must say it had gone down a little bit, that zen look had gone down a little bit, but I think it's going to come back because obviously it will make it more pure, and we'll therefore be able to use more industrialized materials. Okay, we will probably use a little bit of less stone. Natural stone is probably going to go away for interior, even though we're going to still use it on the external. But maybe they're going to say you have to use a special coating. And these coatings, for example, do not retain virus or powder or dust or whatever it is. So all these material together with the simplicity of design, probably it's going to be, in my opinion, a bigger drive forward as opposed to over-the-top decorated fabric and cushions and curtains everywhere.
And how do you think that will play in line with this idea of experiential travel and everybody trying to develop the power of design and creating a sense of belonging and a sense of difference, which therefore sort of drives guest loyalty and repeat business, etc., if it's all going to be very simple?
Simple doesn't mean bad. I don't know. Look, Aman Resort has been for the last 30 years, thanks to Adrian and now Vlad, has been the leaders in the industry. Whether you like it or not, they're still the most powerful name in the industry of the smaller hotel. And I know Four Seasons, etc. also, but these are bigger hotels. But in the luxury, the top luxury sector, Aman Resort remained the best. Everybody, I mean, and it's simple. It's a simple design. I'm actually working right now in front of my desk before you call on the Aman Resort somewhere in Saudi Arabia. And it is absolutely simple. But the difficulty for an architect to be simple is way higher than to be complicated. Adding up a corner and creating another layer, etc. is easier than to be simple and be dramatic. So the answer to your question is, they will keep people being, architects and operators favoring simple design, will keep their clientele, a lot of people. And the more, I was going to say, educated the clientele is, the more they like it simple. When I mean educated, I don't mean having gone to school. I mean exposed. Excuse me. The word educated is wrong. The more exposed a clientele is, the more simple they like it.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about purity and simplicity here. And purity obviously has a very strong connotation as well, I think, with health. And so these things, I think, really work together. And of course, the simplicity of something can be a very strong memory and therefore create this point of difference.
Yeah, volume. A room you enter in a room with a beautiful volume, you say, wow. You don't say wow in front of a carpet. You don't say wow in front of a fabric on a cushion or on a sofa. You don't say wow. You look at a pot, you say, oh, that's cute, but you don't say wow. Whereas you go back and you come back and you tell your family or your friends, oh, I went to that hotel. My God, you enter in that room. Wow, I tell you, fantastic. You don't come back and you say, oh, I come back. You know, there's this little pot with a funny looking hook, and you don't. You say the wow of the volume, the wow of the space, the wow of the landscape, the wall of the arrival, the wall of the view. And I think simplicity enhance and emphasize that wall. So I believe that it is not going backward, it's going forward. The more wall you'll be and the more impactful you will be and therefore successful.
What about ideas of with regard to health again? This idea of wellness, moving on from the environmental and sustainability type of thing, but to look at this idea of wellness and what you're doing at Amala, sort of this ultimate wellness resort being planned in Saudi. How do you see that developing, the wellness side of hospitality design?
Well, this wellness has become a way of life. Before you had a gym. And then now the massage, well, if you stay more than 3 days, you get a free massage. And if you stay 5 days, you also get a manicure and a pedicure. And if you stay 2 weeks, you have a haircut. Okay, so basically, these have become amenities. Now, wellness is repositioning these amenities into a purpose for destination. You don't go in a wellness center for a day. You go to take care of yourself for a week. You're going to address the issue of diets. You're going to have blood testing. You're going to have adjustment of your diet, adjustment of your activities. But before, a spa was a massage place. Nowadays, you barely have, you have the menu of the spa in your room. You have three massage and then you have 10 treatments. Before, you had 10 massage and no treatment. So I think that the notion of spa is almost like a normal amenities now. Now you need to be considered as a serious contender in that industry and a top-class hotel. You must have a wellness. You must have medical knowledge in residence. You must have the facilities. You must have, the medical facility. No, I don't mean operative theater. Okay, this is not what I'm saying. But you must have a possibility of testing your blood, your heart. You are raising the level of the health conscious guest. Whereas before it was just massage, which by the way is nice, but it's part of the wellness, but it's a small part. Wellness is much more than massage.
Agreed. A nice touch, a nice angle on that. Just looking at, to summarize perhaps a little bit, what would you say is the new paradigm for hospitality design over the next two decades?
I think more and more thematic properties. You go for a hotel for divers. You go hotel for golfers. You go to hotel wellness. You go a hotel for sports, for activities. So, look, let's say I have four children, okay, which is the case. I have four children. When they were young, the best place was the Club Med. Why? Because that's fun for the kids. No, put aside your parents. You don't like it so much. It's a great place for the kids. Okay? So you were to go there. That was a very thematic destination. And now, every year with my family, one winter we go in the beach, one winter we go in the snow. It's alternate. So this winter we're going to the snow. Okay, so what do we do? Okay, Keanu is the younger. So Keanu, where do you want to go to ski? Oh, you know, I'd love to go to Canada because my friend Daniel lives in Toronto and I'd love him to join us. Okay, so here we go. We're going to Whistler. And so again, so he says, oh, Papa, look at the hotel. I'll tell you where I want to go. So our son will decide what hotel we stay because he will look for something that he likes. And I think that it is the case for every family. God knows if I'm used to top luxury hotels, but I will probably end up in a three-star hotel where they have fantastic sports facilities. They're close to the ski slopes and they have a party at night. I'm sure. I have a little bit of say, if it's not a two-star, but at least a four-star Keanu. But this is, no, I think it's going to be the same. One will be for yachtmen. You know, people go to yacht club. Now, we're doing a yacht club with hotel rooms. I'm doing one for the moment, okay? A yacht club with hotel room. It's not a hotel at the yacht club. It's a yacht club. And they told me, please put 32 hotel rooms. It's like the wellness idea. It's idea. I think it'll be more and more divers, skiers. You know, there's another hotel, Revelstoke. It's in Canada. If you go to the Rockies, not far from Calgary, Edmonton, and that area. Okay, there is a place called Revelstoke, I think. It's 44-room bunks bed, awful. Canteen dining, open kitchen, party place every night, and you ski, you helicopter ski every day, group of eight, okay? Eight go, one helicopter, go up the mountain, powder ski, come back, go up the mountain, powder ski, come at night, eat, drink, sleep. Okay, now, this is not top luxury, but I can tell you, it's very expensive, okay? So it is another one which is specific, and I believe the hotel go more and more that way. And of course, you have the business hotel where you have no choice. I mean, you're going to Sydney, you have to stay in a hotel, and you will always have 300 rooms and 400 rooms, and the room will be 45 square meter because they just serve a purpose. But again, it's a theme. It's a business theme.
Do you really think that will be the case? Have you got, you know, for intergenerational travel? So you've got young children, perhaps your parents, or on the other hand, you're trying to combine some business with some leisure in a place like Sydney, for example. Will hotels not also be somewhat more flexible and allow the creation of both ideas or more than?
Of course, they will always be an exception. For example, I'm telling you that example of Sydney because I've just been asked to do something in Sydney. Okay, and it's exactly the brief. Jean-Michel, this is the business hotel, okay? And that's all. We only want businessmen. We want a very big business facility. We want meeting rooms, and we want a gym, and a very big gym because businessmen like to go to gym, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But next door, you'll have another one, which we're not designing, but which is built, which is a little bit more leisure-related because Sydney is a nice place to visit, okay? But so I believe that more and more hotels will have their own identity. So I say thematic at the beginning. Maybe it sounds a little bit Disney Worldish to say thematic, but I think it's the right word. But let's say with specific identity.
Very much for that. Let's just perhaps wrap up now a little bit. look at perhaps where, if as now you couldn't travel, but where would you most like to be?
In Bhutan. I love the Himalayas. I love the mountains. In Bhutan with my wife and family.
When do you think you will start traveling again, and where do you think you'll end up?
Well, I only have business trip aligned already. I think my first one will be Tokyo, Bangkok, and China. We're also doing the Four Seasons in Shanghai. And I think they're starting trembling that I haven't been, but I can't help. So I think I'll go for business.
Well, Jean-Michel, it's very good of you to take some time with us today. I really appreciate that. With luck, we'll see each other face-to-face this autumn at Maison et Objet, where we'll have a little interview on stage. And I'm very looking much forward to exploring some of the ideas that we discussed today when we meet in person. Thank you so much for your insight, your time today again. It's been fascinating to hear your content. And always your endless enthusiasm and energy is a real pleasure. Jean-Michel Gatti, Principal Designer at Denniston. Thank you very much indeed. Stay safe, stay healthy.
Most welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you very much, you guys.
Sleeper 2020, a series of conversations with explorers, artists, and thinkers in the world of hospitality experience and design. This podcast is brought to you in association with Grower. Grower bathroom fittings and fixtures can be found in iconic hotel developments all over the world. Thanks to unique versatility in design and functionality, innovative technology, and endless possible applications, Grower products are perfectly placed to meet the rigorous demands of the hospitality sector. For more information, visit grower.com.